Hi, this is Mason Williams. The track you're about to hear is Classical Gas 2005. From Electrical Gas, my new CD with featured guitarist Zoe McCullough. Classical Gas has been recorded by over 100 different artists and has logged over 5 million broadcasts. Now, almost 40 years later, Zoe has literally electrified it.
Taking a pop classic and repackaging it to a new audience who may never have heard the original is not new. However, when that classic is a guitar performance that went on to be the biggest-selling instrumental hit of all time, now that is a brave thing to do. Our guest did just that, and to make this even more amazing, the guitarist in question is a 19-year-old girl. I'm Bill Everett. Now listen to the words and music of Zoe McCullough in this independent production from Celtica Radio. Was a track called Classical Gas, played by Zoe McCullough, and indeed it is welcome to the studios. Zoe, thanks very much for coming along today.
Oh, thanks, Bill. It's great to be here.
Tell me, what would you say is your earliest recollection of music?
My earliest recollection of music is probably listening to James Last on the trumpet. I seem to remember my parents playing James Last albums, and I used to sit there and dance about to it.
So you actually like James Last?
Apparently, I've been told that I liked him when I was about four.
Okay, when did you first pick up the guitar?
I first picked up the guitar at the age of nine, after watching a school teacher, Christine Ram, who used to play the guitar in the school assemblies, and while all the other children were singing their little socks off, I used to watch her playing the guitar. And it wasn't until my ninth birthday that I actually asked my parents if I could have a guitar.
So it must have fascinated you.
It did. It was really fascinating. And after each assembly, I used to always ask Mrs. Ram, different questions about the guitar, you know, and she used to find it amazing that I was actually interested in it.
Now, lots of kids get guitars for their birthdays, but they never get out of the bedroom, do they?
No, not many of them do, but actually discovered the Ubi Hand Guitar Club, which was basically Ubi Hank backing tracks that you could play along to. And joining the Ubi Hand Guitar Club, I used to go down and play it at various different places.
So when you say UB Hank, that's actually sort of basically UB Hank. You act as if you are Hank
yes,
Marvin.
Yes, that's correct. Yes, UB Hank Marvin, yes.
Now, would you say that the Shadows have influenced you a lot?
Yes, they have, actually, yeah. I started playing the classical guitar and actually discovered a record in my dad's collection, which was the Shadows' 20 Greatest Hits. And one day I was looking through his collection and I would listen to a lot of the songs on the record, and the one song that stood out was Apache, and actually started to learn to play Apache fingerstyle on the classical guitar.
Now that was, I guess, 36 years after it was a number one hit.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
What was it about their music that made you want to play it?
I don't know, it just sounded different from anything that I had ever heard before. I think the tone and the fact that, you know, the guitar is such a wonderful instrument to play, I just simply had to learn it, you know.
The Young Stars on Guitars development program, what exactly was that?
Well, the Young Stars project came about because at the age of 11 I entered competition, and it was down in St Donat's Castle, which was down here.
Yeah.
And there I actually met Patrick Terrett, my manager. And the Young Stars project was designed to sort of help develop my talent and to take me further on. And the project had three people involved with it. There was me and two other boys, and we were basically put in there to sort of influence other children the similar age. And we actually put concerts on up and down the country, and it took us far away to Norway, to Germany, and it was excellent.
Yeah, now I understand you also recorded many albums as well doing that. Can you remember the first track you recorded?
Yes, the first track was Dance On, and it was recorded in famous studios in Cardiff. It was an excellent experience, the first time in a recording studio, first time at recording, and it was unbelievable.
Listening to the words and music of Zoe McCulloch. In a moment, we're going to hear a track which is called Jessica, and following that, we'll be talking to her manager, Patrick Terrett.
The fastest way to the internet, islandwebservices.co.uk.
Island Web Services specialise in making effective and quick-loading websites for small businesses and organisations across the UK and beyond. We believe in giving everything a standard with no hidden extra costs. And you can get all this within a 12-page website from £370 sterling. Log on to find out more.
Islandwebservices.co.uk.
Would you like to advertise on Celtica Radio?
Y'all ready for this?
Email our sales team now. Sales@CelticaRadio.com. Sales@CelticaRadio.com. Harness the power of the internet and the 70,000 listeners a month who regularly tune into Celtica Radio. Cost effective and complete. Celtica Radio advertising. You know it makes sense.
Celtica Radio. Celtica Radio.
The Allman Brothers classic, Jessica. And joining me in the studio now is Patrick Terrett. We actually heard about him a little earlier. Patrick is Zoe's manager. Tell me, Pat, How did you come to pick Zoe out at such a young age as a potential guitarist, and particular a star guitarist?
I met Zoe when she was 11 years old. She came down to a festival I was putting on for the Shadows. We had Bruce Welch there, Jed Harris, and a number of others. It was held at St. Donald's Castle in Wales. And basically, she played in the competition. She played a song called Don't Cry for Me, Argentina, which the Shadows had quite a big hit for in the around about 82, I think it was. Somebody bound to correct me on that one.
1979, actually.
79, there we go. I knew somebody would know. And I thought, you know, she was a bit special, and Bruce was absolutely knocked out that there were these kids playing Shadows music, you know, and we're going on quite a long time now after the Shadows had their heyday, really.
Yeah.
And in amongst all these youngsters, there was this one girl, which made her a little bit special, and obviously she stood out because she was a girl.
Because you never see a girl with a guitar.
You don't.
Certainly not an electric guitar.
No, they might play an acoustic guitar and sing along to it, but you don't see anybody playing an electric guitar, and you certainly don't see them playing instrumentals.
Mm.
Now then, I was running the UB Hank Guitar Club at that time, and one of the mission statements on the UB Hank Guitar Club is for us old guys to try and encourage youngsters to play the guitar, because at that time it was all boy bands and girl bands, and you didn't see any instruments at all. So this was something that we really wanted to encourage. So when I met Zoe, I thought, well, we started talking. Everybody was talking about them afterwards, and we were talking about the youngsters on the guitars. And the youngsters, all of somebody turned around and said, they're more like young stars. And that's what we did. So I thought, well, that's a good idea. We'll start a project called Young Stars on Guitars. And we took three youngsters. One was Nick Kelly. Another one was Darren Rutter, who was 10. Nick was 14. And Zoe, who was 11. And the idea was to give a complete cross-section of kids. Zoe being the girl, to encourage girls, the 10-year-old, to encourage the very small guitar players and young guitar players, and Nick, who was sort of at 14, quite a master on the guitar, and he was going to be the stable influence for it. Also, around that same time, which was quite interesting, the Guitarist magazine had an article, which was a whole feature, on the top 10 female guitarists in the world.
Right.
And at number 8, they listed Dolly Parton.
Now, not everybody knows that she plays a guitar.
No, and she doesn't really. Dolly likes to pose with a guitar. She can play about 3 chords. She's got these very, very long fingernails, which means it's totally impossible to play a guitar properly. Yeah. And she uses open tuning, and she just barcodes the first 3 frets and strums some songs. She likes to do it, and it looks good, but she's the first one to admit that she's no guitarist. But the Guitarist magazine, which really should know better, had her listed in the 8th best female guitarist in the world.
Right.
So I knew then that if I could develop a girl to play the guitar properly and play it like the guys do, that she's going to be in with a chance of being picked up and recognized as somebody a bit special.
When did you realize that in Zoe you actually had someone special?
Well, I think after the competition down in South Wales, I went. I took Brian Licorice Locken, the bass player from the Shadows, after Jed Harris, around the regions, and I took her up to Newcastle, and where Zoe was actually playing in the UB Hank Guitar Club branch that we had in Newcastle.
Yeah,
and she played that song that you just played, Jessica.
Mm.
Now then, I'd been playing for 18 years, and I couldn't play Jessica. And there she was. Here there was this 11-year-old girl playing Jessica, and most of the guys in the room were absolutely stunned. So, you know, if you can play Jessica when you're 11 years old, you've got to be pretty good.
Yeah.
And I knew then that if she can do that then, what was she going to be like when she was 17? And I knew then that it was something special. And she went all over Europe with the Young Stars project, and everywhere we went, she was a showstopper.
Mm.
I can remember in Norway when we were playing on the same bill as the Sputniks. She played in the middle of a set with a band called the Reflections, which was the Norwegian top Shadows band. And when she came off stage, so did all the audience. Everybody just left the room, and they all wanted to get backstage to speak to Zoe and get her autograph. And there she was, 12 years old.
Yeah.
And the lead guitarist of the Reflections didn't want to go back on stage.
Mm.
She literally did stop the whole concert.
So obviously you had quite a bit of faith in Zoe to become a manager then.
Well, yes. Basically, she stayed in the Young Stars project until she was 13, so she had 2 years of development with that, which was really good grounding for her. And then when she was 13... Nick Kelly, the oldest guy, went off to college and did it very, very well with the Guitar Institute in London. And I was left with Zoe, and I tried to put her out with some other people, but they just simply weren't good enough. And so consequently, what do you do? So the only thing to do was to take on her personal management. So I really took that on when she was 13 years old.
So Zoe became a solo artist at the age of 13 years of age.
13 years of age, yes.
Now, you've also been lucky enough to meet Mason Williams of Classical Gas fame. In fact, we heard his track a little earlier. How did that come about?
Well, when Zoe was 15, we went over to America for the first time. She was introduced to America by Tommy Emmanuel, a great fingerstyle guitarist, and she played at the Chet Atkins convention. And from the Chet Atkins convention, we did a little tour, and we ended up. She ended up on the All-Star Guitar Night at the Wild Horse Saloon in Nashville,
right,
which was pretty special. And backstage, we met Noki Edwards. Noki Edwards was the lead guitarist of the Ventures, which is basically, for people in England, that's the American equivalent of the Shadows. And Noki invited us to play his festival up in Eugene, Oregon. And we did that for several years. And then in 2003, we had a whole month's tour of America, and part of it took in the Noki Edwards Festival. And on the same bill was Mason Williams, because Mason himself lives in Eugene, Oregon.
Mm.
So basically, we got talking to Mason at dinner before the festival, and Noki said, "You've got to come along and see this girl play. She's absolutely fantastic." And sure enough, Mason came along, and after the show, he came up to her and thought she was absolutely wonderful. He couldn't believe how such a small girl could play such a powerful guitar. And we exchanged CDs. Zoe gave him her CDs, and Mason gave Zoe his CDs. And our next stop on that tour was actually Nashville, the Chet Atkins Convention. That was 2,500-mile drive, which we only had 2 days to do it in. So we were driving a lot, and we got to play Mason's CDs over and over and over again over on the long journey. And we started to realize that perhaps Zoe, if we approached them in a different way on the electric guitar, perhaps Zoe could really do something special with these. And then when we came off stage in Nashville, the first person to greet us was actually Mason Williams. We didn't know that, but he'd actually flown over to Nashville as well. And we went to dinner afterwards, and he invited Zoe to record some of his music. He thought she was so fantastic.
Zoe McCulloch breathing fire into Mason Williams' Gypsy Noodle. In a moment, another Mason Williams track, Eddie, I'm Ready.
On demand, on the internet,
24 hours a day,
www.celticaradio.com.
You see a poor fly out for you, Frisbee, to sink fly like Frisbee.
Who will that? The King of South Wales in 936. Alicia cleaned up the awards, walking away with no fewer than 5 awards.
Well, hello, Frizz. Whose computer shall I go and jump into this time?
You can listen to Frizz and Bite in the afternoon show on CelticaRadio.com.
What's the deal? This is Alicia Keys, and you're listening to James Lewis playing The Vibe on the radio.
You're listening to The Vibe with JL on CelticaRadio.com.
To the beat of our hearts, we will do the dance of love. We just can't get enough of that hot stuff.
K to the L to the DMZ.
This is JL's Thunderstorm.
You're listening to The Vibe with JL on CelticaRadio.com.
A radical departure for Zoe McCulloch. That track is called Eddie, I'm Ready, and it's taken from your new album, isn't it?
It is, that's correct, yeah. The type of music that's on this album is very different to what I've done before, and this sort of music would work well in film. It's very, very powerful and very dramatic. Mm. And it's definitely got quite a few changes in it.
Now, I believe that Mason Williams has entered your new album for the Grammy Awards.
That is correct, yes.
Tell me, with a powerful friend like that, do you ever get nervous playing on stage?
No, never. No, the bigger the audience, the better I actually am. If it's a very, very small audience, I tend to get a bit nervous at that. But you put me in front of 20,000 and I'll be fine.
What about when you were younger, when you used to play in front of an audience?
It never bothered me, actually, because when I was younger, you know, you would sort of just get up on stage and just play. Whereas now, because I'm 19 and I'm seen as being such a brilliant guitarist, the expectation level gets higher, you know. People sort of say, well, you know, you're the queen of the Stratocaster, prove it, you know. And you've got to really live up to that expectation.
So you were saying you played to 20,000 people. Where was that?
That was Manchester MEN, and it was the Young Voices concert. And that was in 2003, and I was there as a guest. And it was a fantastic concert. We did quite a few concerts at that time, and it was brilliant.
Mm. A little earlier, Pat, your manager, he actually mentioned that you played in a few countries. How many countries have you played in? Can you remember them all?
Can't really remember them all. I know that there was Norway, Germany, definitely America, lots of different places in America, New York, San Francisco, Eugene, Oregon, Dallas, and also Japan as well. Which I've only done this year, which was unbelievable experience.
Have you played in the Irish Republic?
Yes, I played in Dublin at the Point, and we actually did two concerts in one day, and the audience over there absolutely loved it, and they loved it so much that during Gypsy Noodle, I actually got a standing ovation halfway through the concert.
And quite right too, and quite
yes,
right too.
Yes, definitely.
Now, you've also played in Japan. Did you like Japan?
Oh, I loved it. I'd go back tomorrow. It was fantastic.
Because the Sound of the Shadows is very big out in Japan, isn't it?
Well, the Ventures are very, very big over there.
I stand corrected, yes.
Yes, the Shadows actually only went over there twice during the 60s.
Yeah.
And they haven't actually been over there since 1969. But the Ventures are really big over there.
Tell me about the guitar that you had specially made for you.
Well, the guitar that I had was actually a Hank Marvin Fender Stratocaster. And the time I was playing the Hank Marvin guitar, which was identical to Hank's himself, everybody used to associate me with the Shadows and Hank Marvin. And at the age of about 15, 16, it was time for us to have my own identity, have my own signature type.
Your own sort of sound.
My own type of colour for guitar.
Yeah.
The guitar's actually a burnt orange with gold crackle. It's got a black scratch plate. It's got my name engraved in gold. And it's also got LEDs in gold along the front of the fretboard.
Right. So for Plastic Axe worshippers out there, how much did it set you back?
It would cost maybe it's about 20,000 if I had to replace the guitar.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, yes.
It's
if any listeners are out there, they can check out my website where there's some great pictures of the guitar.
Yes, we've had a look.
Oh.
Yes, the guitar worshippers amongst us have actually had a look. Okay, we're going to play a track now that I believe is recorded with that guitar. It's called The Last Crusade. Tell us about that.
The Last Crusade is a very, very powerful song, and I think this song would work well in a film. I think it's probably one of the best songs on the album.
Thank you.
Zoe McCullum and The Last Crusade, taken from the album Electrical Gas, 2005. In the next quarter of an hour, brand new recordings from the Queen of the Stratocaster. Stay with us.
Celtica Radio is a fresh new kind of channel, completely independent from any station on the air anywhere. We are available on the internet 24 hours a day, broadcasting using the latest technology. Celtica Radio's programming is receivable locally and worldwide by anyone who has a computer with internet access and a sound card. Log on to us at www.celticaradio.com and be part of the experience. What's more, you choose the programs you listen to. Our presenters are experienced professionals and we play great music and support and nurture local talent too. Check us out whilst you surf the net. If you are an advertiser looking for new ways to get your product across or represent a corporate organisation interested in state-of-the-art media, then we'd like to hear from you. Harness the power of the internet and Celtica Radio at the heart of the Celt in you.
In 1999, a top radio station was stopped from broadcasting by the British Radio Authority for a crime they did not commit. The station promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the internet. Today, still wanted by the public they served, they survive as a radio station of fortune. If you have a function, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, then maybe you can hire the CelticaRadio.com team.
Who's the 9mm?
Oh, play a jingle, please. This is killing me.
I got absolutely soaked.
So much ice cream he can eat without bursting.
No, I'm just sort of sitting here in a retirement home for radio presenters.
Are you sure you're from here? No.
I've got a little booger.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
What time do you call this?
I don't know. I'm too drunk to see my watch.
Your dinner's in the dog and the spare battery is in the garden.
Oh, go on, dear. Give us a kiss.
Get away from me, you drunken can of transistors. You're disgusting and your breath stinks.
The boys down the pub were telling me about the new station called Celtica Radio. It's the dog swinging.
You mean to say that you have been out all this time talking about Celtica Radio and getting drunk whilst you left me to do the little one's oil change?
Yes, but...
Well, I've had enough. I'm going home to Mother.
Didn't we have a lovely day the day we went to Bangor?
You sleep it up. And I listen to CelticaRadio.com. At least they're active 24 hours a day. Celtica Radio.
Thank you.
Now that track by Zoe McCulloch is called Exodus. Zoe, that's very, very different from your previous stuff. Is it available on an album?
Not at the moment it isn't, no. Hopefully we'll get it on an album, maybe it's for 2006. Exodus actually came about. I was invited to the backstage party of Mark Knopfler when he was in Cardiff in May.
Right.
And I was talking to Mark and he suggested that I should record Exodus. So I went into the studio in July and recorded it. But as yet, it's still waiting for an album.
He's a cracking guitarist, isn't he, Mark Knopfler?
Oh, absolutely wonderful, yeah.
I remember being captivated by his playing on Sultans of Swing.
Yeah, so was I, yeah.
And I remember at the time I had just made the move into professional radio, professional broadcasting, when Sultans of Swing was actually released. And I actually heard the original 8-track demo.
Wow.
of Sultans of Swing. It was released on a limited edition record in those days. And to be honest, I often think back to that recording, and to my mind it sounded better than the commercially released version. The playing at the end was incredible.
Wow, I'd like to listen to that.
Yeah, I'd like to get my hands on a copy of that as well. Okay, you mentioned Mark Knopfler. Presumably you've not collaborated with him yet.
Not yet, no, but it's something that I would love to do at some stage. There's a lot of Mark Knopfler songs which I have recorded, which were out on the Gypsy Noodle album, Sailing to Philadelphia, What It Is, and of course Sultan to Swing. But I would like to do a collaboration with Mark.
Who else have you collaborated with?
Mason Williams is the only one.
And that's it then?
And that's it so far, yes.
Have you managed to sort of work with other producers or members of other bands?
Not really, no. Not to my knowledge. I've got a pretty good team that I've built up so far. And with all the management and the musical director, recording studio, I've built up a good team.
So then, when can we see this new album?
Well, if I do well in the Grammys this year, then we've already got a couple of songs which have been recorded. If we do get the Grammy nomination and we do go on to win it, then if a record label does pick up on me, then,
yeah,
then we'll be able to put some of these songs on an album.
Now, this is the Electrical Gas album, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. And from there, where do you go from here?
Well, I'd like to see myself obviously continuing to play in America and Japan, and to possibly make it in Japan and America, and to do a lot more recording. There's lots and lots of songs that I would love to record. There's so many great songs out there at the moment which would make great instrumentals. And I'd like to also inspire lots and lots of children to play guitar.
And of course, you're still young, so you're discovering all types of music yourself as well.
That's right. I'm listening to music every single day of the week, and there's always some really good songs on the radio, and I just have to make a note of them, and then, you know, maybe a year or two down the line, we'll get them out and do something with them.
What would you like to play for us now?
I'd like to play Celtic Warrior, which I'm going to play especially for Celtic Air Radio.
Well, thank you very much. We're very touched. This has been an independent production from Celtic Air Radio. Zoe McCulloch, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.